welcome. It's 2 and 2 yesterday, broadcasting programs from the golden age of radio. Mark Livonia, your host for an hour of Westerns. Later on, Gunsmoke from 1956, but first, the very first episode of Tales of the Texas Rangers, a 2-year-long running show on NBC. This episode first aired on July 15th, 1950.
The National Broadcasting Company presents Joel McRae in Tales of the Texas Rangers. From Hollywood, another authentic reenactment of a case transcribed from the files of the Texas Rangers. Tales of the Texas Rangers, starring Joel McRae as Ranger Jace Pearson. Texas, more than 260,000 square miles, and 50 men who make up the most famous and oldest law enforcement body in North America. Now, from the files of the Texas Rangers come these stories based on fact. Only names, dates, and places are fictitious for obvious reasons. The events themselves are a matter of record. Case for tonight, The White Elephant.
It is January 16th, 1950. The time, 6:28 p.m. A freight train just outside of a West Texas town gains speed and rolls through the gathering dusk. Inside a gondola car, a hobo crouches in a corner as the brakeman comes toward him.
All right, Paul, this is where you get up.
Now, listen, pal, just let me get to the next town.
I said this is where you get up.
But we're moving.
Yeah, you get on where we was moving, you can get off. Now, come on or I'll dust the top of your head.
Now, listen, don't do it, Hutch.
Get on your feet like this.
No, let go.
No, you want to get up,
huh? I told you to let me alone, pal.
Slug me, will you?
You ain't getting me. I'm coming.
At 2:55 a.m. of the morning following the freight train incident, a rancher named Banker noticed a small coupe parked on the shoulder of the road. It bore Oklahoma license plates. Banker turned his spotlight on the car, saw a man slumped down in the driver's seat. A half hour later, Sheriff Caldwell, notified by Banker, began investigation of the murder and called in the Texas Rangers. Ranger Jace Pearson was assigned to the case. And a few hours later, Pearson, Banker, and Sheriff Caldwell stood at the scene. Pearson listened to Banker.
It was just about 3 this morning when I saw it, Ranger.
How come you were driving along this road that late?
I've been to a rancher's meeting in Almira's. I was going to spend the night there and change my mind.
Uh-huh. Did you take this road when you left for Almira's?
Yes, sir.
What time?
Yesterday morning, about 7:30.
And then this car came here sometime between 7:30 yesterday morning and 3 this morning.
I guess so.
You never saw the dead man before, huh?
Was the first time I laid eyes on him.
All right, Mr. Banker. You can go.
Hey, you need me, I'll be home.
No identification on the body at all, huh, Sheriff?
Nothing in the pockets. Picked clean as a whistle.
Anybody else been around the car?
Nope. Deputy kept his eyes on it.
The car's facing west. Going west when it was stopped. Tire tracks on the shoulder tell that.
Mm-hmm.
Blood on the seat.
Yep. 38 bullet done it.
38?
Might be a police special.
Banker got one?
Banker, but...
Just asking. For now. You see, I...
You see something?
Look here, Sheriff.
Huh?
Set of tracks leading up to the car. Ordinary shoes, not boots. Heel marks are too broad for boots.
Yeah, looks like it. Look at this one.
Sole print with a hole in it. Now look. The prints lead from that way, north, up to the car. A little scuffle, and the prints turned back north.
Mm-hmm.
In other words, Sheriff, somebody walked up to the car, stood there, then turned and went back north. Oh, and here's something else.
Grease. Looks like grease.
Smeared on the car door. Same side footprints are on.
The grease might be from the car.
Oh, looks too stiff and heavy for that.
Yeah. What about it coming from a freight train, Jace?
Why?
Well, there's tracks about a mile north of here. Freights use the side and a pull-on when passengers got to pass.
Maybe it all ties in, Sheriff. A shoe with a hole in it, grease, freight siding. Yeah, might be worth going after.
Where do we start?
Here at the car first. I'm going to check it over inch by inch. Meantime, you get hold of a freight schedule. I'll meet you at your office. When I checked the car inside and out, I found a few things that were interesting and a little puzzling. I sent a sample of grease to the laboratory for analysis and took plaster casts of the footprints. Then went on to Sheriff Caldwell's office. He had the information I'd requested.
Here it is, Jace. Schedule of freights went through yesterday.
How many?
Three of them.
We can check those, all right. Of course, we might be sending the dogs up the wrong tree.
Looks like a hobo to me.
Yeah. Let me see the dead man's fingerprints.
Sure. Here you are.
These match with some of the prints in the car, see? Closed Delta.
Yeah. How about those others you got?
Picked these up on the door that had the grease on it. Smeared all over. A couple clear enough to use, only...
Only what, Jace?
You know, there wasn't a single print on the steering wheel. Seems like the dead man's prints ought to be on it.
Gloves?
I didn't find any gloves on him, nor in the car.
Yeah. You know, by the way, I got a call out for any hobo picked up or seen on those trains.
Good. Now, I found these tucked under the sun visor in front of the driver's seat. Gasoline receipts made out to Carl Thompson.
Oh, that'll save a lot of checking.
We'll forward the dead man's prints anyway. That steering wheel bothers me.
Excuse me, Jason.
Sheriff Caldwell. Oh, yeah. Good. Hold him. We'll be there as soon as we can make it. Something else, Jace. Brakeman in one of those freights we've been checking has a story. Some hobo slugged him and jumped.
Okay. Let's go. The brakeman took us to the approximate spot the hobo jumped off the freight. Sheriff Caldwell and I picked up the trail and followed it by horse. We hoped to apprehend the suspect before he could reach a town and lose himself and us. After 6 hours, we stopped.
What's the matter, Jace?
Tracks are different. Come here and take a look.
Different?
Yeah, look. The right print's a little deeper, favoring his left a little.
Hurt himself, huh?
Must have twisted his leg when he took the jump off the freight. Kept getting worse. Sat down here. Smoked a cigarette. Here's the butt.
He ain't going to make such a good time with a bum leg. We've been traveling at a steady trot.
Uh-huh. Okay. Let's get going. The suspect's trail showed increased favoring of his left leg. His progress became slower. More and more often he stopped to rest, and the trail became fresher and fresher. Evidence in a deserted shack showed suspect had rested there for quite a while. We picked up the trail again. We're getting close, Sheriff.
How do you know?
Noticed something just now. Take a look at these prints.
Same as the ones we've been following.
Not quite.
Hole in the right shoe.
Not that. I'm talking about this anthill he crushed.
Well, what about it?
Quite a few of the prints had anthills in them, crushed and rebuilt.
So?
Ants start working on a new hill when the old one's been tramped down. This one's so fresh, they haven't had time to rebuild.
Hey, that's right. He can't be far off.
Guess we better leave the horses tied up here, Sheriff, and start moving on foot. Trouble, and he denied anything and everything about the crime. We took him back, and I kept questioning him, but he stuck to his story.
I never was there. I didn't do it.
Ever own a gun? 38 police special?
I told you 100 times. I never owned no kind of gun.
How'd you take all that skin off your arm?
I don't know. Fell, maybe.
You got that while you were running away? When you jumped off the freight? After you slugged the brakeman?
No, no.
Grease on your jacket. How'd it get there?
Maybe off in the freight.
Sure. That car we showed you, the one you said you'd never seen before.
That's the truth.
Is it? Hold up your right foot.
What?
Hold it up. Hole in the right shoe.
What else?
Here's a plaster cast. Cast at the print of the scene of the murder. Take a good look.
But I wasn't there, I tell you.
Ever hear of fingerprints?
Oh, sure.
Here are yours. And here's a set found at the crime. They match. You still say you weren't there?
I didn't kill nobody.
Let me see your hands. When'd you wash them last?
I don't know. Maybe a couple of days ago.
You know, we can tell if you fired a gun.
I never had no gun.
Did you rob the man in the car?
No, no.
Look at me. You were there, weren't you? We can prove it.
Well, all right, I was there. But I didn't kill him.
Why'd you lie?
Well, I was scared.
If you're innocent, you don't have to be scared.
Look, Ranger, I got a couple of wraps, bag wraps.
Is that all?
Sure.
We can check that, too.
All right, later. Got a couple of wraps for pinching stuff. Nothing big.
Now, look. Tell me exactly what you did.
Well, I come in off afraid. I was walking across when I seen the car. I figured it was funny, something funny.
Why?
Well, car parked like that. Then I walked over, seen the fella in there. He was dead. I beat it. Hopped the freight.
That all?
You know what else hops now.
Did you get in the car?
No, sir.
Did you touch the body or take anything from it?
I swear, Strange, I didn't.
Did you touch the steering wheel and then wipe it off?
Wipe it? No. What for? Look, I tell you,
Jake?
Yeah, Sheriff?
Come here, will you?
Sure. You stay put.
I got no place to go.
Here's all the dope on the murdered man, Thompson. Come in just now.
Carl Thompson, resident Tulsa, Oklahoma, traveling salesman for Prince Extract Company. This checked?
Double.
Tallies with the gasoline receipts.
Mm-hmm. What about him?
The hobo?
Yeah.
I think the only crime he committed was failure to report what he saw. His fingerprints were all over the outside of the one door of that car, and none inside. Seems to me if he thought of cleaning up the inside, he'd have done the same outside.
Yeah, looks like it.
We'll give him the paraffin test anyway and see if he's fired a gun lately.
And if he didn't?
Start all over. And start with that clean steering wheel.
In just a moment, we will continue with Tales of the Texas Rangers, starring Joel McRae as Ranger Jace Pearson.
It's the Silver Jubilee on NBC. This evening, be sure to hear Douglas Fairbanks in The Silent Men, based on the authentic adventures of your government security agents. Monday, Herbert Marshall assumes the mysterious identity of the man called X. Tuesday night, hear Big Town with another hard-hitting adventure by Steve Wilson of the Illustrated Press. Yes, there's always pulse-quickening action on Big Town. Tonight, hear The Silent Men. Monday, it's The Man
we
Called X.
We continue now with Tales of the Texas Rangers. And tonight's case, The White Elephant, an authentic story from the files of the Texas Rangers.
The result of the paraffin test was negative, but we held the hobo pending further investigation. I reported back to my captain, Stinson, at company headquarters. I told him I was pretty sure that the hobo's story checked out.
Yeah, it looks like it. But somebody killed Thompson.
Killed him and then drove him in his own car to where that rancher spotted it.
There wasn't anything on Thompson, huh?
No money, no papers, only these. Gasoline charge account receipts. Somebody went to an awful lot of trouble to clean him, but they overlooked these.
Mm-hmm.
On top, this looks like a plain case of murder with robbery as the motive. But if that was it, why go to all the risk of being spotted in a car with Oklahoma plates? Why not just kill him and leave him?
I don't know, Jace. What's your thinking?
Well, Thompson was a traveling salesman, traveled a lot in a few days. Now, suppose the killer realized that with Thompson far enough away from the scene of the crime, we'd have a pretty tough time finding out just where the murder was committed.
Yeah, that could be. But why?
Well, maybe the killer couldn't leave the spot, so he did the next best thing. Took Thompson's body away. And maybe it wasn't just robbery.
Well, what else?
I don't know yet, but I got some more checking to do. It'll take maybe a couple of hours, and then I might have some answers.
Well, a couple hours on the nose, Jace. Get anything new?
More dope on Thompson, Captain. He never carried much money. Never was known to have picked up a hitchhiker. And I got a pretty good idea of where he was killed. These gasoline receipts tell a fair story.
Yeah? How?
Well, this one, for example, dated the 15th day before he was killed. Made out in Bannon. He got 16 gallons of gas there.
Well, did you ever think somebody else might have been using his credit card?
Yeah, but Thompson traveled that route pretty often. Chances are he was well known at the service stations.
Yeah, that's right. Okay, go on.
I ran a mileage test on his car. He got about 17 miles a gallon. Now, his tank holds 16. I did a little figuring. Just about enough gas was used to get him from Bannon to where his body was found.
But he could have been killed anywhere between Bannon and where he was found dead.
Sure, I know that. But it still looks like my next stop is Bannon.
Howdy, Ranger.
Howdy.
How many?
Whatever she'll take.
Ah, sure thing.
You the owner here?
Yes, sir.
How long?
Oh, a couple of years.
You work alone?
Well, nights, yeah.
Take a look at this, will you?
One of my receipts. Credit card stuff.
You know this Carl Thompson?
Yeah, I see him every, 4 or 5 months.
When did you see Thompson last?
Well, the evening he bought that gas. Why, anything wrong, Ranger?
Was Thompson alone that evening?
Yeah. I never remember him ever having anybody alone.
What else do you remember about that evening?
Oh, one of the worst sleet storms we ever had. Hit like
It'd be tough for him to drive then, huh?
Oh, sure. Hey, he was asking about some place to stay.
He never stayed in Bannon before?
I don't know. Leastways, he didn't know much about the places. I told him to try the hotel. He said it was full up. He said the motels were jam-packed. A lousy weather.
You know where he went?
Well, said he was going to try and find a place along the highway. Why, anything wrong?
Plenty. Here's for the gas. I might come back and ask you some more questions. Thanks. I began a check of every possible place Thompson might have stayed that night, but I drew one blank after another. Then I got a lead at a motel on the outskirts of Bannon.
Sure, Ranger. I remember that night. Sleet was an inch thick. We was full up here, but I sent him to a place down the highway, the Star Motel. Been closed and up for sale for quite a spell, but I heard it was opened up again.
I went to the Star Motel. It was closed tight. Every cabin was locked, the windows boarded. There wasn't a soul around. I was just about to leave when I noticed something. The electricity must have been on somewhere in the place because the little wheel under the dial of the meter was spinning. It was enough to send me back into town to ask a few more questions.
Now, let me see, Ranger. Star Motel. Yes, sir, here's what we want right here.
Uh-huh. Are these all the electricity bills?
Yes, sir.
Let me see. Up to 3 months ago, the bills were just for meter installation, minimum service charge.
That's right, Ranger.
But for the last 3 months, $475, $389, $560. Kind of funny, isn't it? The place is closed, but for the last 3 months, the bills have averaged over $4 a month. Didn't that seem peculiar to you?
Well, Ranger, we just sure.
Sure, I know. Now, can you give me the name of the person to whom these bills were sent?
Get it for you right away.
Why, yes, Ranger, Mr. Carlson's here. I believe he's on the phone right now, but if you come in...
Thank you, ma'am. You Mrs. Carlson?
Yes.
I hope I'm not bothering you any, Miss Carlson.
Not at all, Ranger. My husband's here.
Oh, yeah? Yeah, I see. Well, I think that could be arranged. Yeah, sure. Tell you what, I'll come out a little later. I'll bring the client with me.
Sure. Thanks for calling. Goodbye.
Andy, this is Ranger Pearson.
Oh, hello.
Sorry to barge in like this, Mr. Carlson, but I got a few questions.
Questions? Sure, what about?
You own the Star Motel, don't you?
Yes, I do.
Star Motel? That white elephant.
White elephant?
Yeah, I've been trying to get rid of it for 2 years.
Why?
Well, like Bessie said, it ain't been worth a hoot since the new highway went in 2 years ago. Only half the traffic that used to pass it.
It hasn't been used for 2 years?
Well, I guess I didn't mean exactly that.
What did you mean?
I tried to keep it going for a year after the highway went through, but Couldn't rent enough rooms. Wasn't worth trying to save.
You got the keys to it?
Keys? Oh, sure.
Is something wrong, Ranger?
Might be, ma'am. Can you take me through the motel, Mr. Calton?
Anytime. Right now, suit you?
Couldn't be better. Let's go.
Been out here for close on 3 or 4 weeks.
Did you go through the cabins then?
Oh, just take a look, see. Kids sometimes fool around. That's why I boarded up the windows. Want to take a look in the office?
Yeah. Go ahead, Mr. Calton.
Sure. Nothing in here, Ranger?
Nope, there's not.
Anything in particular you're looking for?
Yeah. You have this floor washed lately?
Oh, heck no. Ain't no use paying for something like that.
It's been washed recently.
Huh? But why? How do you know?
Scrubbing wood with hot water always raises the grain. And hot water isn't as good as cold to wash out blood stains.
Blood? Blood?
Reach!
Oh, yes. Oh, what's the matter
with you? Wait, let go, Ranger. Hold there. Sit down. Go on. Come on.
What the devil is this? Who are you fellas?
My guess is a couple of men I want for murder, Mr. Calton.
Murder?
Just check the telephone wire. Everything okay?
Yeah, push that guy.
Me? Why, I never carry a gun.
Well, we'll just make sure. Yeah, he's clean.
All right, now strip the Ranger's gun belt.
Wait a minute. You got the drop on me. Maybe I'd have to be a fool to draw. But if you don't want me to be a fool, don't touch these guns. You try and take them off me and I'll go down using them. And I might get lucky.
All right, Locke. Let him alone. He's too smart to start anything. Go get the panel truck out and start loading our stuff fast.
Well, what about them?
We can lock them in. Fix their car so they can't get out of here for a while after we leave. If they try to come out while we're still here, we'll blast whatever door or window they try to come through. Get that, Ranger?
I get it.
Okay. I'll be outside, Chuck.
So your name's Chuck, huh?
Good as any.
What are you and that other fellow doing in my place?
Go ahead, Chuck. Tell him.
Some other time, friend. Now you two listen. Because I ain't going to say this twice. Try to bust out before you hear us drive off and you'll get it good. Now stay put.
They got us locked in.
Yeah.
Look, don't go near that window. You heard what he said.
A little crack in the boarding. I'm just taking a look.
What are they doing?
Come here and take a look for yourself.
I should have watched the place more. I never knew anyone was using it.
Been used plenty. Look what they're taking out.
Furs. All kinds of stuff.
It's beginning to make sense. Closed down motel made a nice storage bin for stolen and smuggled goods till they could run it to the markets.
Oh, they'll get away. You said there was a murder.
Take it easy, Mr. Calton. We'll get them.
Oh, they'll be across the border in a half an hour before we could even reach a phone. Maybe you better take a chance.
And get shot down in cold blood? No. But we'll get them all right. Know why, Mr. Calton?
Why?
Because you'll help. I pinned Calton with a quick headlock and then got one arm up behind him and applied pressure so I could keep him still while I had a free hand. I reached into his jacket and found what I was looking for under his shoulder. Then I pushed him.
Are you crazy? He almost broke my arm.
Shut up, Calton. Don't you think I saw this gun bulging under your coat? And they deliberately missed it when they frisked you? You played it real smart, almost.
Well, I don't know what you're talking about.
This gun and the electric bills. You paid them. Paid bills that were being run up in a place that was supposed to be shut down. Seemed kind of funny you never complained to the power company.
So what? Well, you
so you got a phone call from your friends out there. They tipped you because they saw me nosing around here earlier, right?
No.
Okay. Okay, take a look out there. They're almost finished. In a couple of minutes, they'll be gone. In half an hour, they'll be over the border. How about you? You want to stick back here and face a murder charge?
There's nothing you can prove.
There's plenty we can prove, Calton. And you're holding the bag. You'll have a tough time explaining those electric bills and them missing your gun.
I didn't kill that man.
Did this Chuck do it?
Yeah, that salesman come in. He saw what was going on. Chuck killed him, then drove him away.
All right. Now listen real careful to me. I'm going to fire this gun of yours. Then you hammer on the door and holler for him. Get it?
What do you want to
just
do
then? Listen. When they come up, tell them you had to kill me. Tell him to open the door. Then, Mr. Calton, step back and out of the way fast. They'll be gone in a minute. Make up your mind.
All right. Go ahead, I'll do it.
Any funny tricks and you get it first. Now, ready? Pound that door and holler.
Chuck, Rock, give me a pair. Open the door.
Now, when it's open, get back.
What's the matter? Carlson, open the door. I had to kill him. He was making a break for it.
Did you just knock him out?
Reach,
both of them.
Hey, what's the big idea?
Why, you...
Oh!
We'll come back for him later, Carlson. Meantime, let you and me get back to town. I got you a deal for this White Elephant Motel. You can trade it for a jail cell. Andrew Carlson was convicted for his part in the murder. His sentence, life imprisonment.
Now, here again is the star of our show, Joel McRae.
Almost a year ago, a faithful listener wrote to us and said she'd heard of an official Texas Ranger prayer and inquired if such a prayer actually existed. We assured her it did. And in response to her letter, we read the Texas Ranger's prayer over the air. Folks, I wish you could have seen the hundreds of letters we received after that broadcast. Since that first reading of the Texas Ranger prayer, there's hardly a week goes by that we haven't had a request to repeat it. And we're mighty pleased to read it for you again tonight because we know now how many of you, like the men it was written for, realize the importance of a power outside ourselves to whom we may turn. The Texas Ranger Prayer by Captain Pierre Bernard Hill, Chaplain of the Texas Rangers. God, whose end is justice, whose strength is all our stay, be near and bless my mission as I go forth today. Let wisdom guide my actions. Let courage fill my heart. And help me, Lord, in every hour to do a ranger's part. Protect when danger threatens. Sustain when trails are rough. Help me to keep my standard high and smile at each rebuff. When night comes down upon me, I pray thee, Lord, be nigh. Whether on lonely scout or camped under the Texas sky, keep me, O God, in life. And when my days shall end, forgive my sins and take me in. For Jesus' sake, amen. Good night, folks. Good night.
Next week, Joel McRae in another authentic reenactment of a case from the files of the Texas Rangers. Joel McRae is currently seen starring in the Universal International Technicolor production, Cattle Drive. The cast included Tony Barrett, Paul McVeigh, Lou Krugman, Jeff Corey, Byron Kane, Robert Bruce, and Janet Nolan. Technical advisor was Captain M.T. Lone Wolf Gonzalez of the Texas Rangers. This story was transcribed and adapted by Russell Hughes, and the program was produced and directed by Stacy Keach. Hal Gibney speaking.
It's the Silver Jubilee on NBC. Today, the big show presents stage and screen stars James and Pamela Mason, Jimmy Durante, Dorothy Sarnoff, Jack Carson, the Ink Spots, and Tallulah Bankhead. Then there's Mirth and Music with Phil Harris and Alice Faye. Later, Theater Guild on the Air brings you Rosalind Russell and MacDonald Carey in Skylark. And for pictures of your favorite NBC stars, buy the current Silver Jubilee issue of Radio TV Mirror Magazine. Next, it's The Big Show on NBC.
Tales of the Texas Rangers on Tuned to Yesterday, the first broadcast in that NBC series from July 15, 1950. The show would wrap up on September 14, 1952. You're listening to an hour of Westerns on Tuned to Yesterday. I'm your host, Mark Livonier. Now time for Gunsmoke, with one of the shows from the series not adapted for the TV version called The Gambler. The CBS episode aired on October 7th, 1956.
Around Dodge City and in the territory on West, there's just one way to handle the killers and the spoilers, and that's with a U.S. Marshal and the smell of gun smoke. Gun Smoke, starring William Conrad. Transcribed story of the violence that moved west with young America, and the story of a man who moved with it.
I'm that man, Matt Dillon, United States Marshal. The first man they look for and the last they want to meet. It's a chancy job, and it makes a man watchful and a little lonely. Chester?
No, sir.
Oh, why not?
Well, I didn't like to ask Alfred for no more credit.
Oh. Yeah, I heard that you were at Chalk Beeson's faro table again last night.
All right. Read me a sermon. I deserve it.
I guess an empty belly will do you more good than a sermon. I tell you what, you can think about that while I'm eating, huh? Yeah, that's where I'm heading right now.
All right, sir. But I think a sermon would do me good, too. You know, all about the evils of gambling.
Mm-hmm.
It kindly would lift me up, Mr. Dillon. The best one I ever heard was back in Prairie Falls.
Yeah, well, that's very interesting.
Circuit rider was a real hellfire and brimstoner. Come right into the gambling hall, he did, and stood up on the table. He, like, got shot before he finished the first sentence.
But Chester, he outshouted
him and went right on. Took up a collection afterwards, must have got $40, $50. But there was only one trouble.
Yeah, what was it, Chester?
Well, nothing much, really. Only the money was in chips. See, he could cash them or play them. He played them, and he won. That kindly soured everybody on the sermon.
Yeah. Well, I'm going to go eat now, Chester.
Well,
I'll be back.
There's more to the story than...
Hello?
Are you the marshal here?
Yeah, that's right. Do you want to see me?
If you're not too busy.
No, come in. This is Chester Proudfoot.
Hello.
How do you do?
My name is Ascom, Marshal. Clint Ascom. I'm a gambler.
Well, I kind of figured that. But you're not from around here. I'd say maybe you work the Mississippi River boats, huh?
That's pretty close. The Ohio.
Yeah. Well, you're a long way from water here.
Thanks to the Santa Fe Railroad. But that's only a temporary necessity. I have a matter to settle.
Oh, well, how can I help you?
I'm looking for a man. I've traced him to this vicinity.
Uh-huh. You know his name?
That's all I know. His name is Cass. Jameson Cass.
Old Jim Cass? Why, I never figured him to get mixed up with gambling and such.
You do know him, then.
Yeah.
Well, maybe you can direct me to him, then.
Well, he has a place out in the country.
Those aren't very explicit directions, Marshal.
No, they're not.
But they're all I'll get?
Well, I'd like to know what your business with him is.
It's a personal matter.
Oh, sure, but what?
You told me what I wanted to know, Marshal. He's here. I'll find him without your help.
Ask him. Why do you want to kill Jim Cass?
What makes you think I do?
A man eaten up by hate gets a look in his eyes. I've seen it too often. Now, why?
I've got reason.
Better be a good one. You say you've never even seen Jim Carson.
Nope.
Well, he's a peaceful little man. He doesn't even wear a gun. And murder is illegal around here.
I'll remember that.
You better remember something else, too. Jim Cass is a friend of mine. You go anywhere near him, and it'll be a pleasure to run you clear out of the country.
It wouldn't do any good, Marshal. I'll get him, sooner or later.
Good afternoon.
Well, what in the world? He don't mean that.
I'm afraid he does, Jesse.
But why? They ain't a nicer, harmlesser little fella anywheres than old Jim Cass. Now, what do you suppose could bring a man to hate him so?
I don't know, but I better find out. Chester, you watch things here. I'm going to ride out to Jim's.
All right, sure, but ain't you going to eat?
Oh, I can do that later. You keep an eye on Askham, and if he should head that way, you follow and warn me.
All right, sure, I will.
Well, Matt, how I just came down to eat with you.
What's the you going out?
I'm just riding out to Jim Cass's, Doc.
You are?
Now, that's a long, hot ride to make for nothing.
Now, what do you mean, for nothing?
You won't find anybody there. I saw Jim Cass over at the Long Branch not 15 minutes ago.
Have you seen Jim? Oh.
Marshal? Following me?
Well, I might be, Askham. Kitty, can I talk to you for a minute?
Sure, Matt.
Is Jim Cass still around, Kitty?
No.
You know where he went?
Home, I suppose. His wagon was hitched right outside. He got in and drove off about 10 minutes ago.
Yeah. All right, thanks.
Well, what's the matter, Matt?
And I just want to see him alive.
Alive? Jim Cass?
Kitty, do me a favor, will you? Yeah. When I leave, you see that Ohio River gambler's entertained for a while, will you?
Sure, as long as he's got money.
Okay, thanks, Kitty.
Marshal, have a drink.
No thanks, Askham.
Marshal, I've never had any trouble with the law. I don't want any now. This has got nothing to do with you.
A deliberate killing is the business of the law anywhere, Askham.
He'll have his fair chance.
Sure, house odds, huh? I told you Jim Cass is not a fighting man.
So you'll do his fighting for him?
If I have to.
I'm sorry, Marshal.
Sure. But you won't stop it, will you?
No.
You must have a powerful hate.
I have.
I could lock you up, you know.
Mm-hmm. And postpone it for a few days, that's all. And as for running me out of town, I'm leaving anyway. To go out to Cass's. If you want to warn him, you'd better go now.
So you can follow me?
I can find him without your help.
Askham, I'm going to warn you. You harmed Jim Cass, and I'm going to jail you or kill you.
Fair warning, Marshal. If you can do it.
I can do it. Anybody home?
Hey, Tom! Hush up out there now. Hush up. Stop it. Who is it?
It's me, Jim. Matt Dillon.
Oh, Matt. Good to see you. What brings you out here?
Can I come in?
Well, sure. I'll set the coffee to boil. It won't take a minute. Hey, some scorcher, ain't it?
Yeah, it sure is.
Yes, sir. Gonna be a late winter. Must be something important to bring you way out here on a day like this.
It is, Jim.
Something about me, Matt?
Yeah.
Well, say it.
You know a man named Ascom, Clint Ascom?
Ascom? Nope.
A gambler, slick, young, dark-haired.
Oh, no, not likely.
From Ohio, riverboats.
No. I was back east, Pennsylvania, a couple of years ago. You remember that?
Yeah, I remember.
I met some people, but I don't remember no gamblers. Not no Ascom.
Jim, is there any reason why a man you've never even seen before would want to kill you?
Kill me?
Yeah, that's right.
This fella, Ascom, he's here gunning for me?
He probably followed me out here. Says he's got good reason. Well, it seemed to me like you ought to know about it if there was a reason like that.
I don't know why any man I ever met wanted to kill me.
Okay. That's good enough for me, Jim.
What are you going to do?
Wait for him to come, then take him.
Well, seems like I ought to help.
No, you just sit tight.
Well, at least I'd like to ask him why. Hey, reckon that could be him?
Yeah, maybe. I'll take a look. No, it's Chester.
Hey, Tom, shut up out there now. Stop it. Tom. Jim. Oh, howdy, Chester.
Hi there, Jim. Nice dog. Say, Mr. Dillon?
Yeah, Chester.
Ask him followed you out like you thought. But as soon as he spotted the place he turned off, I come in to tell you like you said.
Yeah. Now, that's my mistake. Now we've lost him. He's out there somewhere waiting for us to leave.
Well, what'll we do?
Jim, maybe you better ride into town with us, huh?
And let a gunman scare me off my place. Something no Kiowa or Comanche was ever able to do.
All right, Jim. Come on, Chester. We'll head back toward town.
Yes, sir, but ain't we...
And then circle and come back.
Oh, well, he'll likely use that draw back by the barn. That's the way the Kiowa come in.
All right, Jim, but you stay in the house now.
Don't worry none about me. I ain't got my old scatter gun.
Don't use it unless you have to, Jim. Come on, Chester. You stay here. I'm going on up.
All right, sir.
All right, hold it, Ascom. You're covered. Don't make a move.
Where'd you come from?
I'll just take that gun. Chester.
Yes, sir.
My mistake, Marshal. I guess I underestimated you.
I guess you did, Ascom. Chester, get the horses and we'll get out of here. Jim, I told you to stay in the house.
A man comes to kill me, I gotta ask him why. Just holster your pistol, Matt. This scatter gun will keep him quiet.
Now, wait a minute, Jim.
Do like I say, Matt. You too, Chester.
Mr. Dillon?
All right, Chester. Maybe I'd like to hear this, too.
Yeah, but I don't like the look in his face.
All right, now, mister. My name's Jim Cass. You tell me yours.
Ascom. Clint Ascom.
I'm supposed to know you?
No.
We ever met?
No.
But you got the notion to kill me?
Then I'll do it.
Not while you're looking down this gun. Now you're going to tell me why. Talk, mister.
You killed my best friend. Without reason or sense. In cold blood.
Well, that's a lie. I never killed no man.
Jameson Cass of Kansas Territory. On the night of June 12th, 2 years ago, in a barroom on the Cincinnati waterfront. You pleaded self-defense and they let you go. Only it wasn't self-defense. It's taken me 2 long years to track you down.
But that was an Indian.
That was a Delaware Indian. He was my servant and he was my friend. The best friend I ever had. He was as good a man as you are, or any other white man.
Jim, is this true?
Well, Matt, ain't nothing to kill an Indian, you know that.
You had no reason.
Well, he jostled me and bothered me. Had no right being there at all with white men.
Oh, I'll kill you with my bare hands.
Stand back.
Ask
now.
Him.
You're still taking his part, Marshal. You hate Indians, too.
No, Ascom, I hate killing of any kind.
But Indians don't count. Is that it?
If it'd been my friend, I'd probably feel like you do.
Eh? Not this murder.
Ascom, did you ever think maybe Jim's got a reason for the way he feels, too?
A reason? What reason?
Well, out here, there are plenty who feel his way. The situation's different. Indians aren't all like your Delaware. You take a look up there behind the house. That little grass plot with the flowers and the 3 headstones. Now, those are Cass's reasons. His wife and his 2 kids. And Kyle was put them there. Now, I don't hold with what Cass did, but what you're doing's no better.
I don't care what his reason is. I come here to kill him. I'm going to do it.
Ask him.
All right, Mr. Indian Lover, you will get your chance. Give him back his gun.
Now, Jim.
Stand back, Matt. This is between him and me. You stay out of it. Give him the gun, Chester.
No, Chester. Jim, can't you see that you're making...
I see he ain't going to be satisfied short of blood. Well, now I ain't either.
Now, wait a minute,
Jim.
Stand
back, Matt. I'd hate to have to blast you.
Use your head, Jim.
Man comes to kill me. It's him or me.
Mr. Dillon, that's a shotgun.
Stay back, I told you.
Put it down, Jim.
Matt, I won't be stopped.
Mr. Dillon, look out.
Jim?
Matt, I should have known you was faster than me.
I'm sorry, Jim.
Oh, you had to. But I figured I had to, too.
Chester, give me your kerchief.
Here, Marshal. Take mine.
No.
Ask him. Maybe I had this coming. I never thought much about that Indian. Maybe I should have.
You be quiet, Jim, and lie still.
Marshal, Marshal, I'm sorry I caused this.
It's a little late to be sorry, isn't it, Ascom? Now, why don't you get out of here?
All right, I'm going.
Matt.
Is he dead?
No, he just fainted. Chester, ride into town and get Doc out here as fast as you can.
Will you let me get him, Marshal? Least I can do.
All right, Ascom. Go ahead, but hurry.
Mr. Dillon, you think he'll really bring Doc back?
Yeah, Chester, he'll bring him back.
My, you took an awful chance with that cussed shotgun.
Well, it was a gamble, Chester.
Yeah, but one you could have lost.
Maybe you better read me a sermon on the evils of gambling.
William Conrad. You know, the frontier saw its share of needless killings. But next week, Dodge City watches the most useless of all. Because of a bullet fired 2 months earlier, 3 men die. And that was the West.
Gunsmoke, produced and directed by Norman McDonald, stars William Conrad as Matt Dillon, U.S. Marshal. The script was specially written for Gunsmoke by John Dunkel, with editorial supervision by John Meston. The music was composed and conducted by Rex Corey. Sound patterns by Tom Hanley and Bill James. Featured in the cast were Lawrence Dobkin and Ralph Moody. Harley Bear is Chester, Howard McNair is Doc, and Georgia Ellis is Kitty. Join us again next week for another specially transcribed story on Gunsmoke.
Gunsmoke, on Tuned to Yesterday from the 7th of October, 1956 on CBS. And so closes this hour of Westerns on Tuned to Yesterday. Be sure to be with us next time for more great programs from radio's past. Until our next hour together, I'm Mark Livonier. Thanks for tuning in.